would, please turn to Galatians, the second chapter. Galatians, the second chapter, and be reading verses 20 and 21. The Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And I'd like to throw in verse 11. The just shall live by faith.
The men have decided this morning, this week, we'll be sending $1,000 to the Churches of Christ Disaster Relief to assist in those folks that's been devastated by the tornadoes. I brought this up for if anyone would also like to contribute of their own. You could see Dale if you just want to just send a check to them, save yourself a stamp and give it to Dale today. Make it out to the Churches of Christ Disaster Relief, and I'm sure that Dale will take that and put it in with our check. But if you wanted to give it to the church itself, then we'll get that to them. A genuine faith in Christ. Accepting Him as our Savior, as our Lord and King, living the Christian life and our becoming like Christ demands that we be born again. Born from above, that we become a different people, that we become changed men and women. And if the book of Galatians teaches us anything, it teaches us that in Christ we become new creatures. Galatians chapter 6. In verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul specifically writes here, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. You know, one of the marvels of Christianity is that God, dwelling in us through the Spirit that He gave us, allows us, it empowers us to become changed people. And this power is evident in the life of Saul, who would become one of the most prolific apostles. No one can argue that he didn't become a different person. And if he became different, so was we. And anyone who thinks that they can be converted to Christ without being born again, becoming a changed person, does not understand what Christianity is all about. In the book of Galatians, Paul demands that we answer the question that when it comes to Christ, are we a fan or a follower? Are we casually interested, or are we totally committed? Is our Christianity bound up in a bumper sticker or a chrome fish on the back of our car? Or like Paul, have we been crucified with Christ to the extent that it is no longer that we live, but Christ living in us? Can we honestly say that when others look at us, that it's not us that they are seeing, but Christ who is living in us? I'd like you to keep the book of Galatians in your fingertips, and we will get to there momentarily. But this is not the only place where the genuine New Testament conversion demands that we become changed individuals. If you will, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 1. We'll go down and read through verse 6. The Apostle Paul writes to the Christians here in Rome, "What shall we say then? Or do we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And we were therefore buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." Now let's go over a couple of more chapters, chapter 8. Verses 12 and 13, Paul continues here and says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." It was Paul who told the church in Corinth that we are to be called holy. And we are called to be holy. And in his closing letters to the Romans, chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, Paul tells us that we are to no longer conform to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we are to become a living sacrifice, transforming our minds so that we are thinking like Christ thinks, rather than thinking the way our hearts and our minds are focused on self and the things of this world. The Scriptures speak of conversion as our dying to sin. In the book of Colossians in chapter 3, starting in verse 2 and reading through verse 7, Paul writes, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them." It's time, my friends, that we took the challenge to define our relationship with God. Is our relationship merely a bumper sticker, or are we truly becoming changed people? What is it that we can learn from the Galatians about being crucified with Christ? Now, there are some things that change in this crucifixion behavior. First, we are saved by Christ becoming our substitute for our sins. He was a sinner's substitute, if you will. Under the old law, the law of Moses, every person was judged righteous or unrighteous by God, before God, by keeping the law, the Ten Commandments, all those rules and regulations that God had given to Moses. And of course, no one could be judged righteous because the Hebrew writer wrote that if you broke one law, you were guilty of all of it. Keeping the law never forgives one sin. Only of the blood of Christ can do that. But at his crucifixion, the penalty for our sins was fully paid. Christ became our sacrifice for sins. The problem with the blood of the bulls and goats is it might have only corrected one sin at the time, but you always had to continue to kill those poor animals, to sacrifice them. Jesus did it once and for all of us. And the blood of Christ flowed all the way back to Adam. And it flows to us, and it will continue to flow to the end of the age. Where we should have died for our sins, Christ died for us. And this is what Paul said in the scripture reading that Barney read. The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, our sacrifice for our sins was Christ. So in return, he's asking us to be a living sacrifice by our own crucifixion, our own death to self and to sin. This calls Paul to quiz. If I have died to sin, how can we live any longer in it? Friends, we are changed by faith. We are justified by faith. And we are to live by faith. Faith is a must in Christianity. In the King James Version, faith appears 336 times. In the King James, it appears 20 times in the book of Galatians. Galatians 2 and verse 16, Galatians 3 and verse 24 tells us that we are justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2 and verse 20 and chapter 3 verse 11 that we are to live by faith. Chapter 3 and verse 14 and chapter 5, verse 5, receive the Holy Spirit by faith. Chapter 3, verse 26, we are children of God by faith. Chapter 5 and verse 6, that we find that faith must express itself in a behavior. Faith must change us through obedience, or it is not true faith. The dictionary defines faith as the trust in doctrines and ethics or a supreme being, usually not based on proof. Faith also means the observance of an obligation or fidelity, faithfulness to one's beliefs. As the Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews 11 in verse 1, it tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And down in verse 6, he reminds us that without faith it is impossible to please God. And if you were to read further in Hebrews chapter 11, you find that this genuine faith is found in our becoming changed people, fulfilling our obligation to what we believe. For instance, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and Enoch walked with God, both of those obedience and faithfulness. That Noah built an ark, obedience to that faith. That Abraham went and where God called. Again, obedience and faithfulness. And you look down at those lists of names, those people who fulfilled their obligation to what they believed. Those faithful to God. Those who became changed people. Just think for a moment, if Abraham and Sarah never obeyed God and never went where God said, they would have still been Abram and Sarai. They would not have changed. But they went and they became changed. Abraham and Sarah, the father of nations. If faith doesn't compel us to obedience, to become changed, if it doesn't move us to faithfulness, then it is not a biblical, God-pleasing faith. James affirms this in James chapter 2. In verses 18 through 20, when he writes here that faith without works is dead, that even the demons believe. But you see, the demons, their belief doesn't compel them to obedience. For them, it is their belief is dead. Their belief is useless to their salvation. Our faith must compel us to be changed people. Being crucified with Christ means that we must change our ethics. We're to have a new love, if you will. And this is the gist of Galatians 5, verse 24. To leave the love of sin and to embrace the love of Christ. It was John who wrote the words of Jesus that we're not to love the world or anything in it. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, you go to the bookstore, you go to the supermarket in the stands of the magazines, you have these magazines that want lifestyle. Everybody wants to change their lifestyle. Change a lifestyle that is worthy of life. Change a lifestyle that is worthy of death. Change a lifestyle that will allow us to live forever. We find evidence in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, of the lifestyle that many people are living today. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Paul says, I warn you, as I have warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's ironic that right after that, in verses 22 and 23, tells us that the old man, that's what we crucify, and then this is what we are to become: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who can deny that being crucified with Christ means that we become changed people? Our crucifixion means that we are to conform to His image. Jesus, in Matthew 16, verse 24, he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I'd like for a moment to break down His statement of discipleship. One, we must deny self. There is no crucifixion with Christ unless and until we are willing to deny self, which means that we are to put Christ and others before ourselves. Two, we are to take up our cross. Friends, crosses are not for carrying. They are for dying. Jesus is asking us to die to self, to die to the world and to the things of the world. And then he reminds us that this is to be done daily. Crucifixion of the old self is not a one-time event. Faith, confession in Christ, walking in the light, living above the world, and all the other Christ-like characteristics are daily activities. Paul said that he died daily. He died daily. Then four, Jesus says, follow me. Paul explains this much better than I ever can in the book of Philippians. In chapter 2, in verses 3 and 4, he says here, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. He's not telling us to be nosy. He's telling us to be compassionate. He's telling us to get to know one another so well that when strife or adversity comes upon them, we see it. And we will think of them first and we will run to them and put aside our own selves to help them. Our attitude needs to be the exact same as Christ. Can you imagine going to a town and you're surrounded by people who only want to be healed because they're sick or they're blind or they're lame? Can you imagine where Christianity would have gone from there if Jesus said, look, I don't have time for you all now. I'm tired. I've been on the road all day. I got to put my feet up. I got to eat some food. I got to take care of self. No, Jesus stopped and he helped all who came. Never turned away a soul. Paul wrote this in Philippians 2 and verses 6 through 8. Speaking about Jesus, he said, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Being crucified with Christ means that each and every day we strive to have all of his attributes. We oftentimes think within ourselves that once we come up out of that water, that is the change that we need. But as Christians, if we are not changing a little bit each and every day for the better, we are failing. We are failing. Each and every day should bring a change, no matter how small, no matter how seemingly insignificant that change. If it is for the better, if it is to make ourselves more Christ-like, that change is worth it. But it must happen every single day. So the question becomes, have you been crucified with Christ in genuine New Testament conversion? Have you been raised from the dead and being born again to walk in the newness of life? Are we striving daily to become more and more like Christ? This is our invitation. This is our challenge as together we stand and we sing together.